And we're back. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Yes Ad. It's an improv comedy podcast where two unqualified admin brainstorm semi-coherent campaigns out of mixed-up client requests. It's me. I'm Clint, and this is Josh. Hey, Josh.
Hi, I'm Josh.
That's Josh.
Glad to be back.
He's back. We're both back, baby.
Back and as good as ever.
Just as good.
Equally the same level of quality that you had been assuming we were prior.
Absolutely. That's our tagline now.
That's what we tell people. And that, friends, is why we are in advertising, because we know exactly the right way to get people excited and invested and enthusiastic about products. And that's what we're going to do today. It's been a long hiatus. I do want to address the elephant in the room. Been a while since our last episode. You know, there's good reasons for that. I took up another job. I talked for a while about wanting to get out of advertising. So I attempted to do that. Didn't pan out, as, you know, jobs sometimes do. Clint, I don't know if you had, you know, any... You wanted to talk about your journey, your spiritual journey that you've gone through.
Yeah, mine did pan out because I was panhandling, but not in the, like, begging sort of way. Like, actually looking for gold. And I didn't find any, so I decided to come back to where the real gold is, and that's advertising.
Oh, okay.
Also, my hands got all pruny, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, I could see how that would be a pain. Yeah, I decided to teach, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, I decided to teach advertising. You know, yeah, I taught at a junior college level. Yep. And, it wasn't so much a junior college as, like, I kind of, you know, I posted on Craigslist, if you're interested, you know, you can come to my house. And then, so it wasn't like officially, but I did give them, you know, like Josh credits, you know, J credits.
Yeah, the J credits.
Which, you know, I feel should transfer. And basically we just watched, you know, like Where's the Beef commercials and You Got Milk Got Milk and things like that.
Baby Eats a Boy.
Just like all the classics. And I feel like people had some real strong experiences from that. And so... overall, great experience, but they say those who can't do, teach. And I wanted to prove that I could do, and so now I'm back.
Right. Fuck those people. They don't get to tell us what we can and can't do.
Yeah. We're back. Another unpaid internship, but I feel really good about
another
this one.
Another one.
If we make some really great ads here today, I think we've got a really good shot of them bringing us on full time.
I think so, too. I think this is the one. We're going to actually become professionals.
Yeah. This is the one where they'll finally have to pay us.
They have to.
So I guess, you know, I'll talk a little bit about where we're working. It's at Grampy's Old Timey Antique Ads. And, you know, it's run by a sweet man named Grampy. And
his name's Grampy. That's
his name is
his Christian name.
And yeah, he's got an old timey whimsy, an old flavor to the ads he likes to make from a bygone age. And so that's what we're going to work on today, is try to make some of his clients, you know, happy and excited about what he can bring to the table.
We don't say bring it to the table, though. We say bring it to his lap. That's where we pitch all of our ideas, Grampy's lap.
Yeah, he doesn't have like a formal desk or a table or anything like that. He has a mobility scooter, which he kind of just drives around and looks over our shoulders. And he's got a cane that sometimes he kind of taps me briskly on the shoulder with if I'm not...
He hits me right in the shins.
Yeah, if I'm not making ads fast enough. So
faster ads, please.
You've basically just channeled Grampy. So... I don't know. Should we get started on our first client request today?
So he has a really interesting way of organizing everything. What he likes to do is, what he does with his pills is he takes them all out of the bottle and he puts them in like a little candy dish. But inside each of the capsules of his pills is a client. Mm-hmm. And inside the other capsule is what they want. Because he's like, put a little piece of paper in there.
Yeah.
And whenever you open them up.
It makes sense to him.
It doesn't make sense to anybody else. And I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't even understand logistically how he gets the tiny pieces of paper in them.
His hands are not the most deft of instruments,
no.
I think.
I would not call him dexterous whatsoever.
But, you know, he figures it out. And so.
Does he?
Yeah, we're just gonna kind of randomly select two of his pills, of his meds from the candy jar, and that'll be our clients for today. All right, so you want me to reach in there and grab a couple of them?
Yeah, just tell me which one you pick.
Okay, let me see. Oh, yeah, some of them are wet. That's weird.
Why?
I don't know. So I've gotten. Let's see here. It's taking me a second to crack this one wide open. This is a reformed horror icon is going to be our client.
Okay. Right. So, like, before we get into what they want, does that mean, like, Jason, but he's good this time? He's changed his ways? Or, like, Freddy Krueger, but this time he asks consent before going in your dreams? Or what?
Yeah. Something like that. Maybe, you know, the creature. We could go more old school because it is Grampy here we're talking about. So maybe, like, the creature from the Black Lagoon or Frankenstein.
Mm-hmm.
Nosferatu. And
this
what?
Yesferatu now.
Yeah. And what this person wants is a new type of scratch and sniff offering.
Gross.
Yeah. So so that's what we're working with today.
Okay. Cool.
So I think we just start by brainstorming different scents that go with that are horrifying, that go with horror icons.
Interesting decision and
fresh
strategy.
Blood.
So pennies. I'm thinking more like
rotting flesh.
Why rotting?
Formaldehyde.
Okay. What if it's like a combo? If it's like a Britney Spears perfume, but also blood, because
that's
like
good.
The teen that the killer is chasing.
What do you think the inside of Jason's mask smells like? Probably not too good.
But we don't know, which
I
think is an interesting tactic.
What if he wants it to smell better? And that's what we're making scratch and sniff is the inside of his mask.
Okay.
Because over the years, it's gotten pretty challenging with all the physical exertion that he's had to undergo.
Or not even Jason's mask, Michael Myers' mask.
Yeah. Because that's like latex, right?
Yeah. It's really on there. What if, okay, so what you asked a question a second ago that I really liked, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of people are also asking, what do those smell like? And I think we can deliver a product that answers that question.
Okay.
It solves the mystery.
Is this a product people want?
Let's do a
twofer then, right? Because the horror icon will say we basically narrowed it down to Jason or Michael Myers at this point. The horror icon, he's reformed, doesn't go around, you know, butchering teens anymore. And he wants his mask to smell not like murder. And so he wants to make it scratch and sniff a more pleasant odor. But at the same time, in order to connect with others, he would like them to be able to put themselves in his shoes. And so he wants to recreate his own special fragrance for others to enjoy.
Can you imagine what Freddy Krueger's sweater smells like? Because his skin is rough.
Yeah, I think it just smells like, my guess is it smells like popcorn that you cooked too long in the microwave.
Ooh. Okay, so I like this. What if it's like a dual sponsored thing, like with Febreze?
Oh boy. Oh boy, Clint. It's gotta be with Axe.
Yeah. Or Bod.
It's gotta be with Axe. And like the picture on the front is like Jason with an axe.
So it's like you don't want to end up smelling like Freddy's sweater and you scratch it and you're like, oh god, shit. And you like a slight little, you know, heave and it's like, spray this instead. And it smells like fresh, not burnt popcorn / skin.
Yeah. So I think we can figure out what some of the positive scents are later. Let's figure out like what are the scents we're trying to recreate. I like for Freddy, I think burned movie theater popcorn, you know, is probably right for his sweater. What does the inside of Jason's mask smell like?
Lake water.
Yeah.
Sneezes. I would assume.
Lake water. And, like, I don't think we ever see him drink coffee, but I just feel like his breath smells like stale coffee.
For sure.
I don't know why. I mean, he seems to have a lot of energy. So
yeah,
perhaps that's
unstoppable, really.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps where I'm coming from with that. But that feels like a pretty good combo to me. That seems
pretty good. Michael Myers' sweat is a key component of a latex mask.
That's going to be hard to synthesize in a lab.
We'll just get some.
And some of the we'll need some of the world's top chemists, I think, to figure that one out.
Urea and water. I think that's all it is, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are these like cautionary tale scratch and sniff things of like, hey, killer, you don't want to smell like this. Put on some axe. And the axe, what does the axe smell like?
That's what we need to figure out. It should be a scent. Pheromones? that is soothing to these beasts, to these horror icons that really symbolizes their reformation.
Okay.
So I don't know. Flowers? Is that too on the nose? Probably flowers.
Exactly like what I would imagine. What if it's like lady's hair or something that's like,
okay,
might smell nice.
It's a little bit borderline, you mean? Like, they haven't completely, they're not different people. They're just reformed.
No, they something, something toad, something, something scorpion.
Yeah.
But
okay. Freshly oiled steel and lady's shampoo.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually might smell really good.
Yeah.
And I think I might be understanding there. Motivations.
Okay. Okay, so here's what I'm thinking. Axe Body Spray presents the Axe Murderer line. And and the outside of the bottles or the cans or whatever they are.
The Ex-Murderer.
The Ex-Murderer.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's good. And the outside is scratch and sniff, so you can smell, like, you don't want to smell like this, you know, and then it's we've synthesized their particular aromas. And then the inside is the new positive one that we've created.
Yeah. Can we think of some just quick off-the-cuff lightning round names for some of these scents? Because I already have one in mind.
Okay.
Lady Killer.
Oh, that's a really good one. I don't know if I'm going to be able to top that, to be honest. That's pretty good.
Heart Seeker.
Heartbreaker. Yeah, that's good.
Heartbreaker's good, too.
Maybe Reanimate.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe Man of Your Dreams.
Oh, that one's very good for Freddy.
Yeah, that's going to be a Freddy-specific one.
Yeah, I love it. These sound great. I don't want to buy any of them, but I do think that people will want to.
I mean, somebody must. Okay, so somebody must.
I love this idea. I don't know if we get into this every time where we make some really incredible idea, but we don't really represent the company that we're trying to get a job at all that great.
Yeah.
I don't know if Grampy's going to go for this delivery system. How can we like work on a packaging situation that maybe appeals to his? What if it's like a flat, like a straight razor shaving cream or something?
Absolutely. They should come with straight razors. Absolutely.
Oh, for sure.
I think that's really going to help the brand. And I think it's going to harken back to ye good old days that Grampy really resonates with.
Yeah. I think like it's a shaving kit. And it's still sponsored by Axe. It comes with a straight razor, and it's huge and
it should
well worn.
It should come in a pine box.
Yeah.
Also, not sure how these guys are not in prison, but I guess you know I'm not here to reform the criminal justice system. I'm here to reform their sense. So
true.
I think we crushed this one. This seems good.
We nailed it.
This is good.
Easy.
All we got to do, I think, one phone call to Axe, and they'll be like, anything to make us relevant still. And then we'll be like, yeah, okay, done deal.
This is probably not it, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, what if we did like a ghost-faced like killer dude? That's a person. Just a ghost.
That's a Wu-Tang Clan fella.
No, I mean just like the Scream guy who is a ghost-faced killer.
Yeah, ghost face.
Yeah, what if we... Because that's really popular these days. We just loop him in.
Is it?
Somehow. It'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, they did another one.
All right, yeah. I mean,
this time they did it again.
I don't know what his scent would be.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay, but now we're on this. Now we're in it. What is a uniquely 90s scent that we could just, you know, associate with him?
Curve.
I don't know what that is.
Curve the cologne.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay, print it. I don't know.
Easy.
Done.
Why not? It's the resurgence of Curve 2.
Yeah, everybody wins. Everybody makes money. Everybody wins. Everyone's relevant again. You're welcome. Grampy, can we get paid for this?
8 different brands. You're welcome.
Okay, great. I'm going to reach into this sticky candy dish and grab another one here because that last
one. Ooh, Werther's.
This one is the 11th thing she hated about him that she added just at the end to be spiteful, which we're going to need to unpack that. And that is going to be combined with a charitable cause. That wants. First we need to hearken back to the Heath Ledger, Julia Stiles romantic comedy, 10 Things I Hate About You. Particularly the monologue at the end where she lists the 10 things she hates about Heath Ledger. Mm-hmm. Then we'll have to identify what is the 11th thing she hated about Heath Ledger that she added out of spite under her breath at the end of the list.
Yeah, that might have gotten cut in most theatrical releases, but it was in it.
She
it was in there.
Could not help herself. Like, she wrote the poem, 10 Things I Hate About You sounded better, but she actually had one more that she just could not bite her tongue on.
She just popped it on at the end. She's like, oh yeah, that, fuck. I hate that.
And we're going to have to somehow identify what that is and then make a charitable, maybe like a fundraiser that helps people who also are afflicted with this issue.
Okay. Let's just... Like, it's been a long time since I've seen that director's cut version where that's included, so I don't have a great memory.
I think you had to be, like, friends with Larissa Olnick to get a copy of it, like, which I was, close friends. And
it was the secret club of Alex Mack.
Yep, the secret club of Alex Mack. And, you know, she was like, you'll never believe that what Julia Stiles said in the real version. I'm like, there's a real version? And then she fired that up, and it blew my mind.
We had to watch the whole movie again, though.
Yeah,
it was only that one.
I don't know why she made us do that, but we did. And she lists all the things she hates about Heath Ledger. It's very emotional. She's standing in the classroom. The teacher's letting her do this for some reason, as if this is in any way relevant to education. And then at the very end, she's just like, "And I hate your accent."
And it's just mean.
And there's like silence in the classroom. Everyone's like, "That's pretty cruel to add."
It's xenophobic.
This had just ended on a positive note and now you just took it somewhere else.
Yeah, it's dark. I don't think it was accent though. I think she said like, "You don't pull my hair hard enough."
Oh, she hates that. I didn't know that was a dimension of the relationship the two of them had.
We don't get to see that part.
Maybe she's like, "I hate your addiction. I hate your addictions."
I heard diction, the first part. I thought you were just really hung up on his voice.
It could be that. But I thought she was like, maybe there's like a subplot where he's like battling substance abuse and she hates that about him.
She does hate that.
She hates that demon inside.
Yeah. I hate how you just want to watch the world burn and it's actually a prequel.
Oh my goodness, it's a Joker origin story.
Yeah.
I hate how much...
I hate your pencil magic.
I hate how much you're a dog chasing after a car. Well, you wouldn't even know what to do with it if you got it. And maybe some of his best lines in Batman, they actually come from Julia Stiles. Like, she's the real Joker behind the Joker.
Oh my god, she's like, I hate how you trim your beard hair, let me do it for you.
And then whoopsie. And then
oop.
I just imagine the kid, Heath Ledger, from that movie, just like...
R.I.P. by the way. R.I.P. by the way.
Oh, R.I.P. Forced to listen to Bikini Kill on repeat over and over and over again while with Julia Stiles, and it just drives him mad.
Yeah. You know what's kind of wild is that whole story, that movie, is a reverse dynamic of Harley Quinn and the Joker, where she creates him.
Yeah, and... you know, 10 Things I Hate About You is sort of a soft adaptation of Shakespeare. And the Joker is really the Macbeth of our times, right? Just
true.
The character that
absolutely
that really is just that iconic at that level. And
I know a lot about Macbeth and I would love to talk about it more.
Yeah, me too.
But
not right now because
not now.
We haven't solved this yet. So I guess, I don't know if we've solved anything. We have identified that 10 Things I Hate About You is probably a prequel to The Dark Knight.
Not probably, for sure.
Okay.
Remember what Larissa said when we were...
She did say for sure a lot. Yeah, okay. So she hates that he's got this this dark nihilistic element to him, but she also is kind of assisting it. And now we need to create a charitable cause that will help other people who might become potential the Jokers to help them.
Okay.
It's sort of reforming. It's a lot like, you know, the through line from our first ad. It's about how do we get these young people before they become the Joaquin Phoenixes of the world?
Yeah. What I'm curious about is if she's trying to stop that or if she's like down with the establishment, join this group to like help benefit the masses instead of the 1%, and it's kind of like an Occupy Wall Street charitable cause.
So it's a charitable cause to help people become the Joker. Oh gosh, yeah.
It's an anti-mob charity.
Maybe
corrupt politicians.
Maybe they would just want to get a bunch of wealthy donors in a room together to try and figure out which one's Bruce Wayne. Maybe that's what they want to do. They just want to do a fundraiser to figure out which one of them's Batman, because they know Batman's got money.
Yeah, it's a fun charitable gala, complete with a hidden role game.
Uh-huh. It's the opposite of a masquerade fundraiser. It's everybody comes with multiple forms of identification.
Yeah, obviously. This makes sense, and I think like it's going to really appeal to the you know, unfortunate masses in Gotham, this real place that this movie took place in. That they didn't really talk about the setting of 10 Things I Hate About You, but it's definitely like pre the fall Gotham. And Julia just had like, she saw the writing on the wall.
Because I think the Joker, I think Julia Stiles is there. And she's the real Joker. Batman thinks that he's tangled with the Joker already, but he hasn't. It's Julia Stiles from 10 Things I Hate About You is the real one.
Yeah.
And then I think it's the fundraiser is just all these rich people. They're just kind of gathered there. And then there's like, now for our special guest speaker. And there's like a podium up there. And then the lights go off and you just hear like, and Julia Stiles comes
like,
up. From,
I love you, baby. And if it's quite all right.
Yeah. And then like Julia Stiles rises up from the floorboards and she's like, I've got a new poem, Batman. This one is the 10 things I know about you. One, you are 6'2". Two, you have enough money to buy an airplane. And, you know, she just kind of starts, like, listing what she knows about Batman to help narrow it down. Kind of like a giant game of Guess Who. Yeah, it's like a giant game of Guess Who, but with real people. And
yeah, and like whenever she like eliminates somebody in the crowd who her description doesn't fit, they get shot and they fall forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like the game.
And then they just kind of she just kind of works her way through the crowd. Yeah, I think that's the fundraiser that she wants us to put together.
What is the money going towards? Or is there any money involved? It's just a gathering.
I think what she wants to do is identify Bruce Wayne, take all his money, and then like give it to I don't know, the mob. No, they don't like the mob either. Where would they give it? Who would they give money to that would cause the most chaos? So the most discord, strife. I think like it'll be just kind of arbitrary. Like I'm gonna give, you know, $500 million of Bruce Wayne's money to that one tiger at the zoo.
Yeah, or it'd be like we're gonna put it in underneath a booth in the Applebee's in Times Square.
Yeah,
and like. Just tell everyone in New York City that it's there.
Everyone currently at the Sizzler on 8th Street is now a multimillionaire.
I like that. That is definitely chaos.
So it is a sort of a fundraiser.
Yeah. It raises funds and then gives them to other people.
It raises funds from one person in particular and then redistributes them to a variety of people. Indiscriminately.
That's utilitarianism, baby.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't
Wow, we really did that one too, huh? Okay, so
we kind of solved wealth inequality too, I think, with that one.
I think we did. I don't think Grampy's seen any of these movies, either one of them.
Yeah. Let's just tell him it's Casablanca that we're doing.
Okay.
And then I think we'll be fine.
It's also Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
No one's after
Citizen
that
Blanca.
My favorite movie. Starring Hollywood Starlet. That's her name, Hollywood Starlet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He'll be like, I don't remember any of this from Casablanca. And I'll be, remember when, at the very end, when Rick is like, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. And then she lists the 10 things she hates about him, and right at that moment.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then he's like, I don't really recall. And we're like, no, that's what happened. So you should probably watch it again.
But I think we did it.
I mean, this is not on topic, but it would be really kind of good if every movie ended with one of the main characters listing 10 things they hate about the other main character.
Yeah, or 11.
Or depending. 11. I just, that's, that one's for free for you Hollywood executives. You can take that.
Named Hollywood executive.
Great. I think that's another one in the books. Another one done. Shall we?
These are so easy.
This is so easy. We're born to do this, really. I'm going to just grab another one here. I'm just going to reach in here and...
Yeah, just get in there.
Okay, so this one is some of the cast of Frasier.
Okay. Additional details?
Nope, just says some of them. Doesn't really say which ones. Some of the cast of Frasier want to be in a new Fast and Furious.
Wow, okay.
So they're coming to us to figure out, A, how do we get them in there in a way that works? And maybe B, like, how can we convince Vin Diesel to cast them in these roles?
So are we advertising the cast of Frasier?
Yeah, and like, you know what's really weird is they have specifically said that they want to be playing the characters from Frasier. So,
oh my,
it's gonna be, we're talking about Frasier and Niles and Roz and all them being in Fast and Furious.
Not the actors. The characters.
Yeah, exactly. But not all of them. Don't worry, Clint. We don't have to do them all. It's just some of the cast.
We can't do all of them.
It's just some of them need to get in there.
Yeah.
So I think, like,
because of reasons, all of them aren't available.
I think I'm just going to say, like, Eddie the dog is really easy.
That was going to be my first thing, too.
That's super, so easy. We throw him in the back of, like, somebody's car, just poking up there, and it's like...
Yeah.
Hey,
is that Eddie?
Hey, Dom, who's that? That's Eddie. He's part of the family now. And then they're just like,
yeah,
okay.
He's wearing a little wife beater.
Yeah. And then he's in. I don't think there needs to be anything more to incorporate Eddie into the movie.
No, he's already a firm fan favorite. I know that she's been typecast this a lot, but I'm thinking Lilith has to be in the movie.
Oh my God.
And I don't want her to be a villain this time.
No, she maybe, you know, like Fast and the Furious has this habit of, like, whoever's the antagonist of one film comes back as the protagonist in the next film. It's like roped into the cast. Like, I absolutely am 100% with you. Lilith fits the mood and the dynamism of this series so perfectly.
The charisma, for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree.
The range.
And who's Niles' wife that you never see? What was her name? Maris?
Sure.
Something like that?
Let's also be clear, Frasier's not... He's not in this film.
No.
He's not in this flick.
Sorry, we're not going to be able... It says some of the cast, and we are not going to be able to get Kelsey in this one. Sorry, man.
No. Sorry.
Yeah, so Niles' wife was named Maris. Famously, I don't think ever shown on camera. Just referred to with some pretty heinous adjectives, I think, whenever Niles would talk about her.
I don't think he cares for her.
So what's great about this is we can just cast anyone we want and say retroactively that they're Maris. And
I think it's like Salma Hayek.
That's very good. I do like that a lot.
Salma Hayek as Maris.
I like it so much that I'm not going to have a second idea. It's Salma Hayek as Maris, and it is Lilith. And they're them and Eddie the
Dog. And Roz and Daphne, and it's only the women of Frasier.
Oh, great. That's very good. And you know what? They could... This is a side of them we've never seen before. And let me tell you, they could use a psychiatrist in this one. Because they are on the warpath.
They all ride motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool.
Very cool. They finally freed themselves from the cloying grasp of the tedious Crane brothers. And
the pseudo-English patriarchy that they were a part of.
Yeah, and now they are ready to just go hog wild on a rampage across America.
We don't want to say hog wild because that's confusing.
Well, they've got the hogs. They've got the motorcycles, right?
Yeah. I just don't want it to be confused with the Wild Hogs revival that we have with the cast of Wings.
Oh, yeah. We're doing that next week, so probably shouldn't. They're just... maybe in order not to be confused, maybe they got like some really cool like electric motorcycles. Like
Tron?
Yeah, like Tron. Because, you know, Fast and Furious is always about one-upping stuff, right? And so I just think a four-person motorcycle gang is not going to cut it. It needs to be bigger than that.
I also want them to not... I don't want them to take their helmets off until, like, the climax of the film. And we finally are, like, it's revealed who they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't see these badass biker gang members until the end. And it's revealed that it's the women of Frasier.
Yeah, and I think their leader should be Lilith, B.B. Newworth, should be their leader. And in like a climactic scene, there's like another motorcycle gang, right? That is like overcome by them and their light bikes. And then this figure with a motorcycle helmet comes on, lifts up the other person's helmet and kind of throws a live grenade inside and then closes the face shield again. And then it's like, and they're like, what? And she lifts up her mask and it's B.B. Newworth. And she's like, baby, I hear the blues a-calling. And then the person's head explodes.
Yeah.
How's that? Is that, would that, you think?
Great. Yeah, that makes sense.
You think?
I think it's like, I think it's a good tie-in too, because it'll like really make sure the audience knows. They won't just be like, who are these people? And all of this is taking place, obviously, in Seattle. Obviously. Yep.
I don't want to tell Vin how to make his movies, but somebody's got to drive a car off that Space Needle.
Absolutely. I mean, I do want to tell him how to make his movies because our ideas are really good and it'll be a really good movie.
Yeah. So I think we figured out like maybe how to incorporate them and who to incorporate most importantly, which was actually very easy. What do we call this movie?
Ooh. What number are they on now? 12?
I think, oh boy, I don't even know. 10?
Doesn't matter. Can we just pick a number that's really far out? Because I'm sure they'll make enough to get there eventually.
Okay, so they've already done 10. Or they're filming the 10th, so we got to do 11 plus for this one.
What if it's just 11 plus, and the 11 is two Fs? So, like, it's FF, but the 11.
What if it's, like, you know, the Frasier logo is, like, a little line drawing of the Seattle skyline? Mm-hmm. What if it was just, like, in that font? What if it was just, like, Fast and Furious, and then, like, the Space Needle and one of the buildings from the Frasier logo is kind of the 11?
Okay. I feel like we're showing our hand too early, though, and like letting people know that this is explicitly Frasier-related.
Mm, that's true. And I think what makes it really tricky is it's actually not Frasier-related. It's the ancillary cast.
It's explicitly not.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if it's just like Fast and the Furious, Eddie's Big Day Out, and we don't even mention 11 at all?
Yeah, I think that's probably good. And then people aren't going to know what that means, but then it doesn't all...
And it's like a Tokyo Drift, where it's like, that's the third one, but it's not. It's a separate... one.
I like that. I think that's not gonna like help anyone see the movie, but I also don't think it's gonna turn anyone away. And people will be like,
people
Eddie's
seeing that, it because of the name.
Who's Eddie? And then someone like, oh, I don't know, that's probably like Dom's third cousin or something. They're like, good enough for me, you know, and then that's that's as far as it'll go, right? I don't know what else they would want. I mean,
this is literally the only idea that there is for this.
There's one other problem though, which is just that Grampy is not gonna know what we're talking about with any of this.
We'll just tell him, you know, that the first movie that was just the train, this is the sequel to that.
Oh, to the slightly, you know,
the rotoscope train.
Yeah. You remember Train? Remember when Train came out, Grampy? Remember how much you liked Train?
How much it scared you and your family?
You thought it was real and you went up there to try and touch it. And then you turned with wide-eyed wonderment to your wife and kids because you already had them at that time. But you, in that moment, recaptured childlike wonder. This is like that, but just like a few more moving parts, both figuratively and literally.
Yeah. How does that sound, Grampy?
Frightening. Well,
I think he'll go for that. He really likes that flick.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He
falls asleep within the first 7 minutes of anything we watch anyways.
Yeah, I think this will work. This is great. Once again, as you know, I think the theme for this episode, we're taking something old and horrifying and revitalizing it. And I think we've done that again.
And we're not talking about Lilith here. She's a treasure.
No. This whole movie hinges on B.B. Newworth's interest in reprising that role. So that is really going to be the linchpin of this entire thing.
That's not on us. That's not on us.
We're idea guys. We're not here to make it work. That's on someone else.
Do we got time for one more before we...
Yeah, I think we got time for
a hard day of work.
Another quick one. I mean, this is like... Some people, this is like months of work. And we're able to knock it out in just a short amount of time.
Not us.
Okay.
Semi-professionals.
So this next one is going to be... Our client is Tobias from Animorphs once he's turned into a hawk. So it is Hawk Tobias from Animorphs. The classic young adult book series. And what Hawk Tobias is reaching out to Grampy's ad agency for is...
Old-timey.
Is going to be a buzzworthy heist that he can take part in.
Oh.
Hawk Tobias is a child that gets magical powers from an alien to turn into an animal.
Alien powers,
and he gets stuck.
But he does it bad.
He does it super, almost as bad as you can do it. And he gets stuck for...
They tell him the one rule. It's like, hey, don't do it for more than 2 hours. And he's like, sure thing, bud. And then instantly more than 2 hours.
And he's stuck as a hawk forever. So what would...
Well, almost forever. We're not going to talk about the later books where you can...
Well, I mean, as far as this client request is, the scope of this, it may as well be forever. But what does he want to steal? What does he need to steal? Does he need to steal the alien tech from the aliens in order?
No. This is a teenage boy.
Okay.
Who's in a hawk body.
So definitely needs to steal like penthouses from the local 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
And he doesn't have enough presence or weight to activate the motion activated doors.
And also no hands, so and no jacket, so like shoplifting is really difficult for him.
He's very broomable in his current state.
Yep,
he can be broomed.
No like chimneys in a 7-Eleven that he can kind of sneak down.
No, absolutely not.
So this is quite a challenge for him.
Yeah. And even with his incredible hawk vision, with those like opaque covers and like the plastic wrapping, he can't see any of the goods inside.
But why? So this needs to be a buzzworthy heist. I don't know why he wants that, but I do kind of feel like Hawk steals adult magazine from a 7-Eleven does have a chance of being buzzworthy.
Okay, what if we up the stakes? So like he wants to see the first Playboy or penthouse.
Oh.
He wants the first copy, the first edition of it.
Okay. So this is a heist. So a heist is more than one person. So I think he needs a partner in this who's going to bring the buzzworthy aspect. And I think his partner should be Timothée Chalamet, who also who also really wants to see this. You know,
And it's not any of the other Animorphs?
No, it's Timothée Chalamet. No one has believed that he's 18 years old yet. And so he also needs to steal a copy of the adult magazine.
Yeah.
Because he's got some curiosity.
And it doesn't matter how many forms of identification he uses or how famous he
is. No, they go, that's...
No, sorry.
That cannot be a real name. This is a fake ID, sir. And he gets thrown out of the 7-Eleven.
That's not how you spell Timothy.
Yeah. So him and this hawk boy, I think, are in it. And then they'll need a hacker, too. I mean, they're just...
Obviously.
Every heist needs a hacker, basically.
Who's the hacker? Can we get that girl from NCIS?
Yep. Yeah, she's in it. I don't see why not. last person to round out this heist. I think it should be a real...
It's got
to
be like...
A real bird that he's made friends with.
It's like a
decoy. No, just like an actual bird that he's made friends with in the intervening time. Just like...
Okay.
Don't worry about this pigeon. He's my bud.
I'm already coming up with names for the bird friend, and the first one that came to mind is Ethan.
Yeah. Timothy's like, what's this pigeon here? What's the point of this? And he's like, hey, don't worry about Ethan, okay? Let's focus on the heist. Ethan's good. Ethan's fine.
He's ready.
Yeah. Are you Tim?
Yeah. Is that with a Y, Tim? I don't know. No one knows.
Here's a Y for you. Why are we wasting time asking dumb questions instead of planning this great heist?
Yeah, we've kind of given up on the 7-Eleven. We're going to like wherever the original penthouse or Playboy is being held.
Larry Flint's house, for sure.
Or the Smithsonian, or a fortress-style version of the Playboy Mansion.
Okay, yeah, probably the last one.
Can all the guards be playmates?
Yep. And what's really distracting is that they've got like those bunny ears on, and it is just messing with Tobias real bad.
Yeah, because he's got to hunt.
Yeah, it's just really sending him for a spin. He can't handle this. He can't figure out what's going on here.
What does the hacker do?
Bypass security. Got to get through that firewall.
What's Tim doing?
Tim's got a jacket to put the thing in.
Oh yeah, he's the getaway.
Yeah,
essentially.
Exactly. Once they've obtained it, then it just whoop right in the jacket. No one even knows he's got it.
And Ethan's good.
Ethan. Hey, can we stop worrying about Ethan? I already told you he's fine. Ethan is solid.
He's got it. I don't know why you guys are so hung up on that. Okay, so they're gonna break into a citadel of sin, a citadel, if you will.
Yep.
To steal the original, and I think I like it better if it's the original penthouse that's being kept in the Playboy Mansion.
Yep, I agree. I think it actually does track.
Yeah. Okay. Great. This makes sense to me. I think it's really relatable, and I think everyone's going to really get the source material and also understand the story.
Yeah. And we don't have to resolve the heist. We're just here to, honestly, for our purposes, it doesn't actually matter if the heist works or not. It just needs to be buzzworthy. No. And I think we've done that.
Yeah, it's like one of those David Blaine magic tricks.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if he gets out of the block of ice. Really.
No one really cares. They barely care at the beginning. And by the end, I mean, it is kind of just academic at that point. And they're like, will he survive? And it's like, I think the better question is, maybe. Do I care? You know?
Yeah. I kind of do care about if Timothée Chalamet ever gets identified as adult male. Because I just want to know, like, I want him to have that peace, you know?
Yeah, I think whichever way this shakes out, if he gets a magazine, he'll get that internal validation he's looking for.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get the magazine, he gets arrested, he'll be tried as an adult, and that'll just tell everybody.
Hooray!
Yeah, that'll also give him that validation, and...
it's a win-win.
It really is, yeah.
And you know what's great about this, is that I can see there's a lot of spin-off material for Ethan.
Yeah, I think they're all going to be really happy by the, you know, the recognition that this heist will bring them.
Cool. That was, I don't know. I feel like this was all just pretty, you set him up, Grampy, and we knock him down.
Yeah. And you know, like not only do I think we did a good job on the ads, right? But I think we like brought a lot of people to like emotional catharsis in this episode, you know?
You do?
Yeah, I do. I think we've like...
Speak on that.
I feel like, you know, with Jason and with Bebe Neuwirth, and with Timothée Chalamet, I feel like we brought them all something in life that's, you know, going to help them get to that next stage of personal development and growth. Yeah, I just feel good, you know, ethically good about what we've done, not just professionally good.
Do you feel ethically good about rounding up all the wealthy people in a city and offing them in a game of Guess Who?
Well, that one maybe not as much, but I do feel like they had to know it was coming. That's not on me. They had to know this was coming.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it's the price you pay for being the mega elite in Gotham City. Everyone knows this.
Like that type of wealth inequality, that wasn't going to go on forever.
No, unsustainable for sure.
These Gotham fat cats and their ivory towers, they had to know that at some point Julia Stiles was going to bring this all down. And so yeah, I feel a little bit,
it's only a matter of time before Julia Stiles comes for you once you reach a certain net worth.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, I think we've done it. I feel really good about that episode.
Yeah, and we got to go because it's almost Grampy's bedtime. It is 2:06 p.m.
Yep, so that's when he likes to, you know, get it started, as he says, you know. So he kind of...
Is that what he says?
Yeah, he says, time to get it started. And I'm like, okay. You mean your mobility scooter again? And he's like, no, my bedtime routine.
I thought he meant like the Black Eyed Peas song.
You'll need to tuck me in again. In 4 hours when I'm ready. And then we go, okay.
When I get there.
So we should probably go with that. But do you want to tell the folks what they can do if they've got future ideas, future projects for us, hopefully paid projects?
I would write them down on a piece of paper and then fold it up tight and then kiss it.
Put it under your pillow.
Yeah, make a wish. And then we'll get it.
Okay.
Really easy. No, you can send us an email at yesadpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram. We'll put more content on there, I promise. Yesadpodcast. On Twitter, same thing, yesadpodcast on Twitter. Yeah, shoot us some ideas for who you want to see us work with or what you want to see us make ads about. So we'd love to hear from you. Help us drum up some more business. Maybe we can work at a company that will pay us and also isn't run by a... Oh my God, 117? That's how old he is?
Yeah, and I actually think that they just rounded on that one. Yeah, so that's like...
Down?
That's give or take a decade, I think.
Jesus. shoot us all those things over. We'll get to them. And yeah, I hope you like the new music that I may or may not have successfully put into this episode. Check in next time we make one of these at an undisclosed time period. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Clint.
I'm Josh.
Bye. Bye. Bye.